We're now turning in the word of the Lord to the Gospel of John, to the portion we read together there in John chapter 14. I want this morning to speak upon the subject, a cure for a troubled heart. But before we do consider the word of the Lord, let us seek now the Lord's face in prayer and seek the help of the Holy Spirit. Most loving God and gracious Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for the precious word of God that is now open before us. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt take up thine own truth. By thy Holy Spirit, Lord, apply it to our hearts. May we be encouraged today through the word. And also through the word may we behold our blessed Savior. Grant us, dear Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. We might be enabled, Lord, to preach the word. And in preaching thy truth, we might preach Christ. We do ask these things in the Lord's name and always for his glory. Amen. John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3 will form our text for this morning. The Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The words before us were spoken by the Lord Jesus to his troubled disciples. The words revealed to us that even the most gifted and faithful of God's servants are subject to troubled heart. Indeed, this malady has afflicted us all from time to time. We've all suffered from a troubled heart at some time or another. There have been times when we have all suffered from the same problem, the word troubled, which the Lord used here means disturbed or agitated. So there was something in the hearts of each of the disciples that disturbed them and left them very agitated. What was it? What was it that disturbed the peace of their hearts and had them so agitated? It would appear that it was the thought of the Lord's departure that troubled them. If you go back to chapter 13, and there we read in verse 33, the Lord Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you." It was almost as if the Lord wanted to break the news to them gently. See how he addresses them. He says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. Ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Then you go down to verse 36. And Peter, no doubt speaking for the rest of the disciples, as well as himself, said unto the Lord, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Why? I will lay down my life for thy sake. So we can see clearly that the thought of the Lord leaving the disciples troubled them greatly. Peter said, Why can I not follow thee? Then you come into the chapter that we have read in John 14. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? They're troubled. Something that I'm sure would trouble every disciple. If the Lord were to withdraw himself from us, would that not trouble us? I believe it would. Even as it troubled Job. Job, in the midst of his sorrows and his sickness, one day cried out, Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That troubled Job greatly. He wasn't conscious of the presence of the Lord. It was as if the Lord had left him, hath withdrawn himself from him and hidden somewhere in the shadows. And Job cries out, Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Like the bride in the Song of Solomon, who was greatly troubled by the withdrawal of her beloved. And her cry was, Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The Lord knows that his true disciples, when they miss him, will seek for him. As the bride went out into the streets and sought for her beloved, as Job sought for his Lord, so the true disciples of the Lord will always seek the Savior. Even as he said there in chapter 13 and verse 33, Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. But now the Lord endeavors to put the disciples at rest. He puts their minds at rest regarding the events that would soon come to pass. And dear friend this morning, have you perhaps come to this meeting today somewhat troubled about a particular matter in your life, or in your home, or in your family? Is there something that troubles you today? Well, then the Lord has a word for you. Because the Lord would say to you this morning, Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want to look at this cure for the troubled heart as revealed by the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And I want us first of all to consider the Lord and his peace. The disciples evidently did not have any peace. They were disturbed, they were agitated at the news that the Lord Jesus was going away and that they could not follow him. They'd been following him for 3 years. Now he's speaking about going away to a place that they could not follow him. They would not be able to follow him anymore. And this disturbed them greatly. They evidently had lost their peace of mind and heart. I want us to consider the Lord's concern. The Lord showed an interest in the disciples, and it was a concerned interest. He was concerned in the plight of his disciples. He was concerned that they were troubled. And he says unto them, let not your heart be troubled. It was a selfless concern. The fact that the Lord Jesus showed this concern for his disciples reminds us just how selfless the Lord Jesus was. Always thinking about others more than himself. We ought to greatly admire the blessed Savior, that the Lord Jesus should think so caringly of his disciples at such a time. For the Savior was going to his last bitter agony. The Savior was going to face death itself with all of its suffering and shame and agony. And yet, who does the Lord think about? Does he think about himself? No. He's thinking about his disciples. Instead of calling upon the disciples to support him in his trials, what's the Savior doing? The Savior's heart went out to his disciples and their far inferior trials. The Savior had his own troubles, but he showed more concern and interest in the troubles of his disciples. Go back again to John 13. And there we read in John 13 and verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. The Lord Jesus was troubled in spirit. He's not thinking of his own troubles now as he addresses his disciples, for he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. This shows us, believer, that when we have troubles of our own, the Savior can identify and sympathize with us because he had his troubles. The Lord Jesus had his troubles. And when we have ours, he can identify with us. It was a very sensitive concern that the Savior showed. We can see from these words that the Lord Jesus was sensitive to the troubles of his disciples. Because you see, at no time did Peter or John or James or any of the others come to the Lord and say, Lord, we're troubled in heart. They never said that. But the Lord Jesus knew that they were troubled in heart. They didn't have to tell him. He knew he was sensitive to their needs. He knew how they felt. No, so the Lord then came and said, let not your heart be troubled. What a wonderful Savior we have. A Savior who is so sensitive to our needs. He knows all about us. He's interested in us. He's interested in our troubles. We may have come to this place of worship this morning with a trouble upon our heart that no one else knows about. that we have never told anyone about. And therefore, no one can really sympathize with us. They don't sense our trouble. They have no idea. They do not see our trouble. But Christ is so sensitive that he knows. And Christ is sensitive to all our troubles. We see it here demonstrated in his sympathy for his disciples. The Savior knows all about our troubles. He is sensitive to our trials and our troubles and to our tears. And he would say to us this morning, little children, let not your heart be troubled. Do we not have here an example also of his sincere concern? There was nothing superficial about this concern that the Savior showed for his disciples. For the Lord Jesus is always seeking to comfort his people. Did he not say through his prophet Isaiah, comfort ye my people? Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Did he not say unto all who cared to listen, come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's interested in giving rest to the troubled. His concern for his troubled people is a genuine concern. For even when he told the disciples that he was going away, he was still caring for them and looking after them, because he said to them, I will send you another comforter. It's all right, children. I'll send you another comforter. You needn't worry. You needn't be concerned. You needn't be troubled. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. Therefore, he was able then to say to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You don't need to be troubled, because I'll send you another comforter. So we see the Lord's concern. We see the Lord's calming influence on his disciples. The Lord speaks to the disciples to calm the storm that was raging within their hearts. This he did by speaking these words unto them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You notice how he stilled the tempest in their hearts by speaking a word unto them. That's all he did. That's all he did. He had a word for them. And my, a word from the Lord was enough to calm their fears and cure their troubled hearts. And believer, whenever we have a troubled heart, isn't that all that we need? Isn't that all that we need is a word from the Lord? And the Lord is able to give us that word. For as we read in Isaiah 50 and verse 4, the Lord has the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He knows how. It's one thing speaking a word of comfort to an individual in trouble. It's another thing is to know how to speak that word. And the Savior not only has the right word, but he has the right attitude. He knows how to speak the word. for he has the tongue of the learned. And how often, dear child of God, have you and I received a word from the Lord and it was enough to still the tempest? That's all we needed, was a word from the Lord. You turn, please, to Mark 6. And there in Mark chapter 6, in verse 49, the disciples in the midst of the storm, out on the sea, and we read in verse 49, and when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Troubled disciples again. They were troubled, verse 50. And immediately he talked with them. Mark is the only one who includes that little detail. He says, and he talked with them. He's calming their hearts. He's giving them a word. He talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You don't need to be afraid. It is I. Are the words there, it is I, are the words I am. You don't need to be afraid. I am is here. He talked with them. In other words, he brought a word in season. You notice that when the disciples heard the Master's voice, not only was the storm calm, but the storm within their hearts was calmed as well. He's a wonderful Savior. For only he can do that. You'll notice what the Lord said to the disciples again in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Whenever we have trouble or sorrow, well-meaning friends will come and try to comfort us, put their arms around us and speak to us. But they can really only address the thoughts that are going through our minds. Only the Lord can deal with the heart. And the Lord was dealing with the heart. Let not your heart be troubled. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who can calm the troubled heart. As we read in Philippians 4, and there in verse 7, Philippians 4 and verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When the Lord deals with the heart and settles the heart, he'll settle the mind as well. That's the order. Deals with the heart and deals with the mind. And peace. The peace of God which passeth all understanding returns to the heart and to the mind. Notice the Lord's clear instruction. The troubled disciples needed to be guided and instructed by their master. And so in their trouble, the Lord said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I know you believe in God. Well, then believe in me. The Savior pointed them to God in their trouble. Here's the Lord. Here's the good minister. He's ministering to his disciples, to his people. And in the midst of their trouble, they're troubled. When they're troubled of heart, he points them to the Lord. you believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord was saying to his disciples, will you believe in God? Well, I am God. I am equal with God. You believe in God, then believe in me. What was he saying to them? He was saying to them, you've trusted in God, well, trust me. You believe in God, you trust God, now trust me. Trust me, and what I tell you is true. Trust me, everything will be well. Trust me, everything is going to turn out all right. He was saying to them, I know the path ahead may look bleak and dark, but believe me, everything's going to be all right. Trust me. You believe in God, believe in me. And how we need to be instructed by the Lord in times like these, in times of trouble. We need, yes, we need a word from the Lord, and we need the Lord to instruct us and teach us and point us to himself. So often we have our eyes upon the trouble. Like Peter, as he began to sink that day, took his eyes off the Lord and he saw the waves. He had to get his eyes on the Lord again. And in our times of trouble, we need to have our eyes on the Lord. And sometimes we need the Lord to remind us of that. And when we say with the psalmist, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? We need the Lord to come and tell us, hope thou in God. And when dark clouds of doubt gather and things happen which disturb our peace and we don't understand, we need to hear the voice of the Lord saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe me, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. It's going to be all right. God knows the way. He holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometimes with tearless eyes, yes, there, up there, we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime, we'll understand. It's going to be all right, believer. Let not your heart be troubled. That's the Lord and his peace. And then you have the Lord and his place. Let not your heart be troubled. Remember, he's seeking to encourage his disciples. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's going to be all right. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. There you have the Lord and his place. In times of trouble, it is not surprising that we tend to think of that place. We think of heaven, that place where there is no trouble. This the Lord did. This is what the Lord did with his disciples. There they are troubled in heart. And what does the Lord do? He reminds them of a place, a better place, a better land, where there is no trouble. It's going to be all right. You're journeying on towards my Father's house, where there is no trouble. And in my Father's house are many mansions. The Savior was, of course, speaking about heaven when he spoke about his Father's house. And for the disciples, they may have many trials and troubles and tribulations along the way, but they would eventually come to the Father's house. That makes it a special place, the Father's house. It is a special place because it is the Father's house. Interestingly enough, the Lord Jesus spoke about a place on earth that he called his Father's house. The place on earth was the temple. John 2 verse 16. The money changers and the lenders and the buyers and sellers had come into the Father's house. And the Lord said, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves. It was the house of worship. It was the house of prayer. And oh, may the house of God ever be a special place for us. So the Lord Jesus called heaven my Father's house. The word house signifies a household or a family. In my Father's house. In my Father's household. In that place where God's family assemble are many mansions. The Father's house is the gathering place for what Paul called in Ephesians 3 verse 15, the whole family in heaven and earth. We know that there are some of God's family already in the Father's house. And there are some of God's family still on earth, and they're traveling on towards the Father's house. So when we think of the Father's house, when we think of heaven, believer, we ought to think of home. Because that's what heaven is. That's what the Father's house is to the child of God. It is home. It's the Father's household. And some of our loved ones and our friends and our families are already home. They're already in the Father's house. And what a comforting thought this is in our times of trouble, just to know that one day we'll be in the Father's house. We'll be home. The place where there is no trouble. No troubled hearts in heaven. No sickness, no sorrow, no separations. No defeats. No death. No departures. And this is what the Lord Jesus was leading up to. The disciples were troubled about the Lord's departure. About his going away from them. But the Lord was teaching his disciples there's a time that is coming when you and I will be together and will never depart one from the other ever again. Hallelujah. There'll be no departures. You'll never be in a place again where you will miss me. Where you will sorrow over my absence. Because we're all going to the Father's house. And in the Father's house there, we'll be at home together. That truth should help cure the most troubled heart. Not only a special place because it's the Father's house, a secure place. The Lord said that in his Father's house are many mansions. The Greek word for mansion is a word that means abode. We have the same word in verse 23. Verse 23, John 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Same word as mansion. The word would speak to us of a permanent place, a place where we will abide forever. One day all the mansions of this world will crumble and fall. But the mansion that the Lord has prepared for us in heaven will stand for all eternity. And believer, that's our home. That is where we will abide. We'll make it our abode. We'll never leave heaven. We'll never be cast out of heaven. We'll make it our abode forever. The disciples, most of whom were just common fishermen, were never in a place to be able to afford a mansion. But when they get to heaven, they'll abide forever in a mansion. The Lord comforts them by telling them, Let not your hearts be troubled, because a mansion awaits you in heaven, in that city that stands four square, whose builder and maker is God. Look again at that verse 23. The Lord said, We will make our abode with him. The Father's house is our permanent home, for we shall abide with him forever. And we need never doubt that that's the way it'll be. Never doubt it. What did the Lord say? If it were not so, I would have told you. You can believe the Lord. If it were not so, if there weren't any mansions there, I would have told you. If it's not going to be your eternal abode, I would have told you. If it's not a place of rest and joy and eternal happiness and bliss, I would have told you. But I'm telling you, there's no need to let your heart be troubled, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And that's the truth. We need never doubt the Lord. Oh, let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Let them say there is no heaven. Let them say there is no hell. Let them say when you die, that's it, that's the end. But we will believe the Lord our God. We'll believe what the Lord says. And if the Lord says, we're going home to a mansion one day, and we'll abide there forever, I'll believe that. And it gives me hope in the darkness. And it gives me joy and satisfaction and happiness in my sorrow and trouble. It's a suitable place, this place of the Lord. It's suitable, the place to be prepared by the Master for those who will occupy it, is a most suitable place, because the Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's prepared a place for us here upon earth. Look at the works of his creation. Look at the detail the Lord has attended to. We have everything in this world that we need. Everything to sustain life. God has provided it. Everything we need is here. Now the Lord's saying, I go to prepare a place for you in heaven. That tells me it's going to be a most suitable place. He'll attend to every detail in heaven as well. My, what a place heaven must be. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I go. I must go. What was he talking about? Not only to go and prepare a place, but he was saying to them, I must go to Calvary. I must go there and present my body a living sacrifice unto God. I must go there and suffer and be put to an open shame. I must pour out my blood. I must die in order that I might go on and prepare a place for you, so that one day I can come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Because no corrupt thing will be in heaven, needs to be washed in the blood. And before we could enter into the Father's house, the Lord Jesus had to shed his blood and wash us from all our sins, that we might be properly attired, we might be clothed in his righteousness, washed in his blood. Oh, I go, the Lord said, to prepare a place for you, but I must go via the cross. What a place it must be. And we see what the Lord has done in creation. When we get to heaven, we'll see what he has done there for us too. No wonder Paul said to the church at Philippi, I am in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart, having a desire to depart to that Father's house, to that place, there was no trouble and no suffering. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. No wonder Paul had that desire. Finally, we have the Lord and his presence. He's comforting his disciples. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The disciples were troubled about losing the presence of the Lord going away from them. And the Savior is comforting their hearts, and he's telling them about the Father's house, and he's saying, I'll come again, I'll come for you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I'll not leave you behind. I'll come for you, and I'll bring you home, and we'll be together forever. We'll be together forever. Notice his care. Look again at what the Lord said. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm doing it for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you. You think of all that the Savior has done for us. The Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Because all that I do, I'm doing it for you. I must leave you. I must go away. But I'm doing it for you. My departure, my dying, my death, I'm doing it all for you. My burial, my resurrection, my ascension, it is all for you. And the place that I am preparing in my Father's house, I'm doing it for you. And when I return, I'm returning for you. For no one else. I'm coming back again for you. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be. Also, we'll be together forever. That's his care and his coming. I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Lord hasn't gone to the Father's house only to leave us. He's coming again. And his company, the Lord promised his troubled disciples, where I am, there ye may be also. We enjoy the Lord's company here. Ah, but it's only a foretaste of glory divine. Those times when we come to the table, those meetings in which the Lord draws very near, it's only a foretaste of what awaits us when we abide with him forever. Samuel Rutherford said, if Jesus made his abode in hell, I would want to be there too, because I am sure hell would become a heaven if Jesus was there. That's what makes heaven what it is. Jesus is there. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Believer, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and will never part again. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving God and gracious Father, we do rejoice in the great hope that is laid up for us, that one day we shall be with the Lord, and we shall be with him forever.